From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of June 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Along the way, we'll check the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, and we'll hear from Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He has some thoughts about 2020 and 2021. Corn and soybean prices, and we'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago for Monday, July corn finished 2.5 lower at $3.24. The December down 3 at $3.36.5. July soybeans were down a quarter at 841, and the September there at 845 and three quarters down a quarter of a cent. Bean oil futures up 22 cents at 27.65. Soft bread winter wheat 5.5 lower at 515.5. The hard red down 8 at 462. Feeder cattle were up 77.5 cents in the August at 136.15. Live cattle at 98.45 were down a buck 42.5. Ethanol futures around a penny higher at $1.16 even. And the gold at $1,739.10, up 90 cents for the day. Crude oil at $35.34 a barrel, down 15 cents. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at this marketplace for a Monday. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today. I thought maybe the marketplace after the press conference that President Trump held on Friday afternoon, just as the markets were closing, actually, might have a larger impact in Chicago today on the CME group, with him taking kind of a tough stance on China. And then China, of course, coming back this morning saying, you know, our state-owned agricultural interests aren't going to import soybeans or pork from the United States. What really happened?
Well, look, confusion there. Is it private or state-owned? A lot of the purchases have been by private and crushing facilities. They made that statement earlier. No confirmation on the worries. Then they came back. There's talk from the commercial side. They bought three cargoes of beans off the Pacific Northwest. So business as usual. The thing is when you look forward into here, China's bidding up tremendously for South American beans. Even they're sold out. It's kind of like when you go on vacation, you're sitting in the airport ready to get on the plane. All of a sudden they go, this flight's sold out. You want a voucher, and it's kind of a cat and mouse type of situation. But they're going to have to buy some U.S. beans. There's just not enough U.S. Beans in the southern hemisphere to fulfill their needs. So these shipments are up front here September through November. So we'll see how this unfolds here. But it's some serious negotiation and so forth. Probably the front most concerning thing is the events over the weekend. The looting and so forth is pretty well hit central Illinois. And that's concerning from the prospects of future small businesses getting back up and running after the shutdown. And with them being gutted out and so forth, it's a real tough subject to swallow. And even in your particularly higher up chain stores, the concern there is you're starting to hit the distribution centers here. The chains promote and sell a lot of food, and if we start to see some destruction and don't see some law and order take place in through here, we can run into a situation where people won't be comfortable to go out and eat, or even go to the store and buy some if the store is even still there. But the Dow's pretty well handling this weekend event fairly calmly. The Dow's up over 50 points, and so there must be some confidence there that we're probably going to get this under control and get the economy rolling here, get people out and spending some money, Todd.
As we get into the month of June, are there any seasonals that usually take place that you're watching for and hopeful that might be in place?
Oftentimes you do see a little bit of a summer weather concern. If you go back to the old seasonals back from the 70s and 80s, that seasonal dominancy is to have a little bit of up in June and July. That's mainly on some weather concerns. So hopefully that can take place in through here and give the market a little bit of recovery. We're extremely oversold. We've priced in a lot of negative news. There's quite a bit of grain out there to be moved yet, so producers are eager to see some seasonal up or some type of weather concern here to get caught up on sales. But the key is kind of finish up planting. This afternoon's planting progress report, corn expected to show 92 to 94% of the corn crop in the ground. Conditions are expected to go up 1 to 2% in the good to excellent category. The trade's looking for 71 to 73% good to excellent. Soybean progress, 91 to 93%, anywhere from 71 to 73% of the beans, 79 to 82% of the bean crop in the ground. I'll get that right one of these days. 79 to 82% of the bean crop in the ground, with conditions 66 to 69% good to excellent. Quite a bit of a little replant taking place. We'll see how this forecast unfolds here, but the warmer weather is welcomed here, and conditions should hopefully improve here from here on out.
Ethanol usage and feed demand getting stronger?
Yes. Feed demand's always been there. There was some euthanizing taking place, but overall weights are strong. They'll go up. Ethanol plants are coming back online. I heard Gibson City came online here last Friday, I believe, going into the weekend there. Judging by traffic here in our office, it still continues to pick up. I went to get the mail here, and it took 5 minutes more than it usually does to get there, just the fact that people are moving around and starting to burn a little bit of fuel.
What are your expectations for the USDA's June WASDE report? That's out next week. Any early calls yet?
Oh, boy. Yeah, here. Time's flying, ready for another crop report. As far as new crop, I don't know if we're really going to see a whole lot of adjustments on it. Old crop, I think we're probably going to wait till the end of the month in here and see how the June stocks report shows their numbers and kind of adjust the overall bottom lines as we move into the July monthly supply-demand report.
Anthony Drethers speaking of the end of the month on what that USDA acreage figure will show at the end of the month.
That's a great question. It depends on the weather here this week. If we see these wet areas stay wet, I see corn acres actually going up compared to just like last year. I think guys would be quick to switch bean acres to corn acres and say that's going to be a cornfield there and take prevent plant because it pays out better in through there. So I think we've got to shy away from actual planted acres to harvested acres at this point. And I believe harvested acres are going to be actually skinny on the corn when it's all said and done. But this week's weather pattern gave us an idea on that and see how much we accomplished. But guys were fairly quick to take those last bean acres not going in to say those will be corn acres.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities. In today's agricultural news, Friday, U.S. President Donald Trump took exception with how the Chinese are dealing with Hong Kong, and that is having an impact on trade relations with that nation, as today it called on its state-owned agricultural interest not to import pork or soybeans from the United States. Mr. Trump expressed his concern during a press conference last week about how Chinese are dealing with freedom in Hong Kong.
China has replaced its promised formula of one country, two systems, with one country, one system. Therefore, I am directing my administration to begin the process of eliminating policy exemptions that give Hong Kong different and special treatment. My announcement today will affect the full range of agreements we have with Hong Kong, from our extradition treaty to our export controls on dual-use technologies and more, with few exceptions. we will be revising the State Department's travel advisory for Hong Kong to reflect the increased danger of surveillance and punishment by the Chinese state security apparatus. We will take action to revoke Hong Kong's preferential treatment as a separate customs and travel territory from the rest of China. The United States will also take necessary steps to sanction PRC and Hong Kong officials directly or indirectly involved in eroding Hong Kong's autonomy and so, and just if you take a look, smothering, absolutely smothering Hong Kong's freedom.
There'll be more yet to come on this story. Now, the ethanol industry says it's lost faith in the Environmental Protection Agency's annual setting of renewable volume obligations for producing and blending biofuels. The Renewable Fuels Association CEO Jeff Cooper says even if the EPA keeps conventional ethanol volume at 15 billion gallons next year and increases advanced and cellulosic biofuel levels, it hardly matters.
The marketplace doesn't believe those numbers anymore. We used to really anticipate the proposed rule and the final rule, but the last several years we've seen those numbers eroded and watered down by any number of small refinery exemptions and other gimmicks, accounting gimmicks.
The latest of which is the small oil refinery backyard hardship waiver request to EPA and to end run a federal court ruling that severely limits such ethanol blending waivers. Add to that dozens of coronavirus-impacted plants only now starting to come back online, says Cooper.
The prices we've seen has helped restore the margins to a level that have made it a little more attractive to switch an ethanol plant back on. But we're still looking at break-even or slightly just above break-even margins for most of the industry.
Meantime, this past weekend marked the first anniversary of EPA's final rule, allowing year-round use of E15, long sought by the industry. Growth Energy reports nearly 400 new E15 locations were added over the last year, bringing the total now to nearly 2,200. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. We're joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois, to take a look at the soybean market. He's written about it for the Farm Doc Daily website. You can find the most recent article at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You took a look at soybeans and the market this week. What were your assumptions going in, and what'd you find?
Well, Todd, I was talking a little bit about a seasonal price rally, which we typically see this time of year, and there's been a lot of hopes in the market for another one occurring. But when you look at the rally, it's typically around the crop that's being planted, maybe weather premium coming into the market a bit. For soybeans this year, that's the case still, but exports and the uncertainty surrounding exports are a huge issue that is going to, you know, increase and keep volatility in the market for the rest of the year in all probability. And that's independent of the crop. You know, right now, we did see a wet week last week, but soybean planting was well above the five-year average pace. It may slip back a little bit this week, but I think you'll see the crop get in the ground. At this point, I don't think there's any quantifiable yield loss that you can pencil in. You would figure a trend yield or USDA is 49.8 or above. And over the last few years, you know, speculating that the soybean crop will be very, very small has been not such a good play most of the time. So while there might be a little bit of weather premium coming in the market, I don't expect to see a huge price rally this June. But if there is some kind of rally, I think it's definitely a marketing opportunity for new crop soybeans. You know, if you're out there thinking about marketing, it may be a case where you want to put a floor in them and hope for the best for trade. You know, on the consumption side, we still see strong crush, and we'll get another crush report from USDA today. I think you may see crush weaken a little bit as we move through the summer with all the issues with the livestock supply chain, but I think we're going to hit USDA's projection. But it really does come back to exports, and once again, we see issues with China bubbling up. And there's been reports that they're going to stop purchases of soybeans and pork. We have seen buying from China recently, and that's been supportive. But we're a long way from the 2.05 billion bushels that USDA penciled in. And folks need remembering that the last two marketing years are a prime example. China doesn't buy beans from us at a normal pace. Our export demand is weak, and that's just how it is. So all this political brouhaha that's brewing between China and the U.S., and a lot of it legitimate and some of it geopolitical, like Hong Kong and the South China Sea, and all that related to the coronavirus, it's all wrapped in together. And to me, no one, including the people setting the policy, it seems, know how this is all going to turn out. So there's a lot of uncertainty in that space. So I think protecting yourself is a good idea when you're thinking about marketing new crop beans.
How have Brazil's exports been to China this year?
Torrid. They are exporting like crazy down there. Since February, really, but in March and April, record export numbers every month. I expect May will be another record May for them. Maybe not at the level we saw in April, but they've been on a torrid pace. They've got a big crop, and they're exporting them to everywhere, not just China, but China's buying a lot from Brazil. And I think that could continue for a while. It will tail off into the summer like it normally does. But if the last few years are any indication, maybe not as much as we would like, particularly if the political issues carry over into the fall.
Last week, you wrote about the corn market. What did you see there?
Well, similar to beans, I think you're seeing ethanol come back a little bit, which is positive and hopeful. You know, we saw a blip in gasoline demand go down the week before, but it recovered last week, which was good. We're starting to see ethanol come back in. Exports have been strong. They're a little bit behind the pace USDA has projected, but if we have some issues with the safrinha crop, which it sounds like there are, and corn prices in Brazil are high, we could see corn exports stay relatively strong throughout the summer. The big question is what's going to happen with feed and residual and this particular crop we're putting in the ground right now. I think much like soybeans and the issues with soybean meal and crush, corn may get caught up a little bit weaker feed use as we move through the summer, depending on how cattle and hog and poultry numbers splash out. But I think it'll still be strong feed use. I think you're going to see ethanol come back in a decent way. And I think you're going to see trade stay there for us as well for use. So I'm a little bit optimistic on corn demand. The problem is the 97 million acres of corn we're planting this year. I know a lot of market observers are speculating about a pretty good drop in corn acreage. I'm not that optimistic. I could see 2 million acres coming out of it relatively easily, but people saying 4 to 5, I think, is a bit of a stretch. I think in the Western Corn Belt in particular, when they got out there and started planting well above the pace, I think you'll see a lot more corn acres out there than maybe were penciled in the March prospective planning report. So I think at a minimum, you're looking at 95 million acres, and there's no reason right now to discount the yield that USDA put in place. So we could see a massive 16 billion bushel crop, and that's hanging over the market as well. So we're going to need really strong demand next year to eat through that crop, but we're staring at a 3-plus billion bushel carryout in 2021. So I'm hopeful for a stronger demand scenario as we move into summer, driven mainly by increased ethanol production, strong exports. Hopefully, I hate to say hopefully, their safrinha crops are bad, but that's sort of how I feel about it. And, continued feed use, maybe not the levels we thought, but still strong enough to get ending stocks near where USDA is projecting them for 1920 marketing year. And how we handle and what we end up producing in the 2020 crop probably going to set the tone over the next year for corn prices.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Each and every Monday, or most Mondays, you can catch up with his thoughts on the Farm Doc Daily website. Just look for his article posted around the noon hour at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. On this Monday, let's check the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us. What a gorgeous weekend we had, although I take it we're going to get a bit warmer over the next several days in our part of the world.
Well, Todd, I appreciate you having me. Yeah, this weekend's just, you know, gorgeous weather here in Illinois, and let alone much of the Midwest. That weather's not going to stay around for an extended period of time, as long as you don't mind warmer than normal temperatures here coming in. Again, not seeing anything extreme developing from a temperature perspective, but readings will be climbing into the warmer than normal category really starting tomorrow, and that will equate to high temperatures climbing into the 80s, as well as minimum temperatures in the 60s. That'll hold through the early part of next week before there's a little bit of a cool down here. Now, the hottest temperatures will be further out west. That will incorporate some of the western Corn Belt in Nebraska, Kansas, on into portions of the Dakotas. And so that's really going to be the hot spot, especially over the next week to 10 days. But for here in Illinois, let alone much of the Midwest, a little bit warmer than normal, but nothing too anomalous at this stage of early June.
I took a look at the recent drought monitors, and everything looks pretty good, though there is a pretty good size area of dryness across the western United States, not in the production areas particularly. Is any chance that will spread?
Over the next couple of weeks, so through the first half of June, it will be spreading out into the plains and the far western Corn Belt. The next 2 weeks, with this upper level pattern that features a ridge of high pressure centered over the north central U.S., not only is that producing the warmer than normal temperatures, but also producing below normal precipitation. So there's going to be some expansion of that dryness in eastern Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, and in Nebraska, Kansas, and western Oklahoma. We don't see that kind of core dryness moving directly over the Midwest, but it's certainly turning less active, relative to what we've seen here in recent weeks.
Speaking of active, sometimes the Gulf of Mexico and the tropical areas get active. What do you see there?
Yeah, we do see the Gulf of Mexico turning a bit more unsettled here. And that's actually part of the remnants of what was Tropical Storm Amanda that moved to Central America from the Pacific this past weekend. That circulation will be moving into the Gulf of Mexico. And it has potential to spin up into another tropical storm here later on this week. Interests in Texas and Louisiana need to watch the development of this potential system here. And that also includes the port of New Orleans, and agriculture shipped out of there also needs to pay attention for this potential development. If there is any impact, it's likely not until this upcoming week or the early part of next week. So we have a little ways to go, but certainly something to keep an eye on this week.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Look us up. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at WILLAG.org. Just click and play right from our website at willag.org, or if you'd prefer, you can find us as a podcast. Look for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week in your favorite podcast applications, including SoundCloud, Stitcher, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast too. Thanks for listening. You have a very, very good Monday afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.